to Biblical Talks Podcast with Michael Tolliver. This podcast is dedicated to biblical teaching and having worldview discussions from a biblical perspective. Here is today's podcast.
Welcome to Biblical Talks. I am Elder Michael Tolliver. There is perhaps no other hot debate issue in the church today than that of women serving as pastors or teachers or preachers. As a result, it is imperative to not see this issue as men versus women. Let me first say this. All of us have been blessed by mothers, women missionary, women Sunday school teachers, and other females who have taught us the word of God without being called pastors, preachers, or ministers. Let us thank God for these many godly women in our lives. Now, let us deal with what the word of God has proclaimed about women preaching. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over man. She must be silent. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. In the church, God assigned different roles to men and women. This is a result of what mankind was created and how sin entered the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. God, through the Apostle Paul, restricts women from serving in roles of teaching or having spiritual authority over men. This prevents women from serving as pastors over men, since pastoring includes preaching, teaching publicly, and exercising spiritual authority. Someone might say, what about Deborah? What about Miriam? Or other women in the Old Testament? It is true that these women were chosen by God for special service to him, and that they stand as models of faith, courage, and yes, leadership. However, the authority of women in the Old Testament does not apply to the issue of pastors in the church. Listen, the New Testament epistle presents a new standard for God's people, the church, the body of Christ. And that example involves an authority structure unique to the church, not for the nation of Israel or any other Old Testament entity. The structure of 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 through 14 make the reason why women cannot be pastors clear. Verse 13 begin with the word for, F-O-R. And this word for, F-O-R, gives the cause of Paul's statement in verse 11 and 12. Why should women not teach or have authority over men? Because Adam was created first, then Eve. Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. Verse 13, 14. God created Adam first, and then he created Eve to be a helper for Adam. The order of creation has universal application in the family and in the church. Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 33. The fact that Eve was deceived is also given as a reason for women not serving as pastors or having spiritual authority over men, 1 Timothy 2 and 14. This does not mean that women are gullible or that they are more easily deceived than men. The text simply said that women are not to teach men or have spiritual authority over them because Eve was deceived. God has chosen to give a man the primary teaching authority in the church. God has ordained that only men are to serve in the position of spiritual teaching authority in the church. This does not imply men are better teachers or that women are inferior or less intelligent. It is simply the way God designed the church to function. Men are to set the example in spiritual authority and spiritual leadership in their lives and through their words, and also in their homes. Women are also to set an example in their lives, but in a different way. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 6. Women are encouraged to teach other women. Titus 2, verse 3 through 5. The Bible also does not restrict women from teaching children. The only activity women are restricted from is teaching or having spiritual authority over men. So this bars women from serving as pastors to men. Now, this does not make women less important by any means. Rather, it gives them a ministry focused more in agreement with God's design. I can hear someone say right now, I know you are wrong because God has called me a woman to be a pastor. There is often no value in reason with someone who thinks God had told her to do something. You can show her all the biblical and theological evidence, it would not matter. She would tell you, who are you to argue with what God has told me? My sister, sorry, I take what God has said in his word over what you claim God has told you every single time. Someone might say there are men and women pastors who lead very successful ministries. Their argument is this. If God does not call women to be pastors, these women would not be leading large and growing churches. Where does the Bible teach that a large or a growing church is a universal sign of God's blessing? Where's that taught at in the Bible? The Mormon church is growing faster than most Christian denominations. Islam is growing faster than Christianity. No size, no growth, no success are what determines if a ministry is biblically sound. The Bible contains God's guidelines for gender roles in this world and in the church. Those roles are different, not greater, not lesser. Red and green are different colors. One is not greater than the other, but they are used for different purposes. Together, they complement each other, filling our world with brilliant and bright colors. If everything was red or everything was green, we would not appreciate the beauty of either. So it is with gender. Listen, when men and women work together with their God-designed assignment, God's kingdom flourish. Women are called to many areas of service. They have received gifts from the Holy Spirit, just as men do. They should fulfill those calling and use those gifts just as men should. Women with a gift for teaching should use that gift, but within spiritual guidelines. Those guidelines can be found in 1 Timothy 2 and 12. The emphasis is clear. God designed qualified men to be leaders in the church. This does not necessarily mean that men cannot or should not learn from women, because we can. It means that women should not have spiritual authority over men. The position of pastor or elder is the role reserved for men only, who meets also certain qualifications according to Titus 1, verse 5 through 9. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24 and 26, relate a story of Apollos being taught by a husband and wife team named Priscilla and Aquila. Apollos received the teaching, he learned the footings of the gospel message from Aquila and Priscilla. He became a more dynamic evangelist. Was Priscilla a prototype or a woman preacher? No. The passage is clear that the instruction of Apollos received was informal. It was private, and it was conducted by both Priscilla and her husband. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more eloquently in verse 26 of Acts chapter 18. Priscilla helped share the gospel with Apollos. She was never seen as a spiritual authority in a church setting. Paul later calls Priscilla and her husband co-worker with him, Romans 16, verse 3. Dr. John MacArthur says, Paul is forbidding women from filling the office and role of pastors or teacher. He is not prohibiting them from teaching other appropriate conditions and circumstances. Let me say this. Everyone who calls herself a pastor, an elder, an evangelist, a minister. She's out of order. Matter of fact, she is in total rebellion. And my prayer is that we come back in line. Charles Spurgeon says it is treason to the King of Kings to tone down the word of the Lord. We need men of God to stand up and proclaim the truth. I want you to listen to Volton Barkham and John MacArthur on this issue. I thought they had some great issues in discussion on this issue. Let's listen to them, what they have to say about this.
My wife is not going to let me like go home if I don't ask this question, because yeah. She can't ask it. You can answer it after this. She just wanted to know why women are not allowed to preach in the church. And if a woman feels that she has the gift of preaching, why isn't she allowed to preach? Thanks.
All right. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. So, because the Bible says so. And that's it. The other thing is, well, what if a person feels like they have gifts to do that? No one gets to do everything they feel like they're gifted at. No one does. What if a man who has several wives feels like he's gifted to be a pastor? The Bible says he must be the husband of one wife, right? So just because you feel like you're gifted to do something, that doesn't give you the right to overthrow biblical qualifications. The office of the elder, Paul says, you know, when he's talking about the elder, he must be the husband of one wife. He's talking about man, okay? That office is exclusively for men. That's the office of the pastor teacher. So if the office is exclusively for men, and the Bible is very clear that women are not to teach or exercise authority over men, there's absolutely no room for women to be in that office or to exercise that authority.
Well, I think it's absolute. I permit not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. If a woman wants to know anything, let her ask her husband. There's no ambiguity in that whatsoever. And it's not any kind of commentary on the spiritual equality of women. Of course, in Christ, we're all one. There's neither male nor female. It's not a commentary on women as something less than. It simply identifies them as different than. Men are given the responsibility of leadership throughout society. I mean, that's God's design for marriage inside and outside the church. So again, I think it's kind of the Eve issue. You know, Eve got out from under Adam and led the whole human race into sin. Women are designed by God to be helpers and to be protected under the headship of their husbands. And that is played out throughout the scripture. And in particular, if you look at the Bible, for example, 66 books, none of them authored by a woman. That is a pretty compulsive case for male leadership. You have 66 books, none by a woman. A couple of them had to do with a woman, Esther and Ruth, but not written by a woman at all. So I think you have illustrations of that. And then when you come to the apostles, none was a woman. There were women who traveled with Jesus and who served and who were discipled by him and who did all kinds of ministry. But none of the apostles was a woman. We don't have any women ordained in all the New Testament churches. We don't have them ordained as elders. We don't have them as pastors. Romans 16 talks about them as servants or deacons. So they have a role to play, equal spiritually, but their very defined role is different than that of a man. So what reason would there be biblically to overthrow that? I look at it as a rebellion. I look at it as a rebellion generated by a hard attitude of self-promotion, not because somehow you found a verse hiding somewhere in the Bible that changed what you thought was the truth.
Talking about the role of women, please note, before you get offended by this, This is not Dr. John MacArthur's opinion. You will notice he dives immediately into the Bible, because the issue is not what do white European males prefer, but the question is, what does God command?
Does Scripture allow for women eldership? This seems to be the direction of some churches today.
Absolutely and unequivocally not. I mean, look, this, how can a woman be an elder when an elder has to be a one-woman man? What is that? This doesn't make any sense. How can a woman be an elder when it says in 1 Timothy 2 that I permit not a woman to teach or to take authority over men? There is no way. What you have to do is reject the Scripture, convolute the Scripture, reinvent the Scripture, twist the Scripture. Look at 1 Timothy 2. It might be worth just a glance at that because it's kind of the key text. The thing that concerns me, and the reason I'm real strong on that, is because it's an attack on Scripture. You want to know something quite interesting? The 20th century is the first century when the traditional conviction of the church on this issue has been overturned. In fact, 1960 was the first time that this began to be attacked. That's a pretty good legacy of consistent interpretation of a very clear text. Let a woman, verse 11, receive instruction with entire submissiveness. And by the way, this is about the church, chapter 3, verse 15, how to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So this is about life in the church. One, let a woman receive instruction with entire submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. This is not cultural. This is creation. It was Adam first created, then Eve. It was not Adam deceived. The woman being deceived fell into transgression. It was the divine creative order and the demonstration of the fact that when the woman got out from under the authority of the man and acted independently, she was deceived. That is the affirmed biblical pattern. And just to support that, there's no woman in the Old Testament that had an ongoing prophetic ministry. There are a couple of occasions where God used a woman to speak. But there is no woman in the Old Testament with an ongoing prophetic ministry. None. There is no woman who wrote a book of the Bible, either the Old Testament or the New Testament. There is no woman among the apostles. There is no New Testament woman with a prophetic ministry, though the four daughters of Philip did speak. There's no basis for thinking anything other than that God has upheld this in his design all the way through. It is not to say that women are inferior. They are not. They are equal in Christ. They are equal spiritually. They are equal in value, equal before God. It is just a matter of the roles that God has designed for them to play. But verse 15 is the balancing element. Verse 15 says women are preserved or saved from what? From some stigma, some second-class consideration through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Look, men have leadership in the church. You say, well, how isn't there a significant role for women? Sure, it's the balance of women bearing children. We know this in the family. I mean, I'm the head of the house, and, you know, I have ultimate responsibility, although I want to submit to my wife as she submits to me. I want to meet her needs. But in the end of the day, I've given the headship of the family and the responsibility. As 1 Corinthians says, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man is the head of the woman. But women are protected from some second-class consideration through the bearing of children. You know, I'm the head of the house, and I say what ought to be done. But Patricia is the one who has all the influence. And even my two sons, who are men, if they want to unburden their heart, always go to their mother. There's a level of influence that is really profound in the intimacy of rearing children, provided the women continue in faith and love and virtue and self-restraint. A godly woman as a keeper at home, a lover of her husband, a lover of her children, Paul says, is going to have the greatest impact. Not if she comes to lead the church, but if she uses her influence.
I actually kind of have a little follow-up to that then as well. It says, since in the Bible it says a woman should go to her husband for spiritual questions, do you think Bible studies are wise for women in church?
Yeah, I think women, I think a great host, the Bible says, are women that publish the good news. I think women should come together to pray. I think there are informal settings where women can pray, where they can be engaged in Bible studies. I don't have a problem with women having Bible studies. How could I? There are women who are gifted teachers. There are women who know the truth. And there's nothing in the Bible that says a woman doesn't can't teach. She can teach other women. She can teach children. You remember Aquila and Priscilla, both of them instructed Apollos more perfectly in a way in a private home setting. So this is not to say anything about giftedness. I think women can express leadership. They can engage in Bible study. They can teach women and teach children. But what they cannot do is take the pastoral place or the role of the teacher and the preacher in the church as duly assembled.
And that's a guiding principle that will likely help you answer almost any question, what exactly is the role of women in the church? Think pastoral eldership, synonymous terms. Does this task, this assignment, this position usurp that role? If it does, verboten. If it doesn't, most likely it should be okay. Now, I do realize that different people in different churches are going to come up with somewhat different answers to that question. But I think as a principle, if the women's role, whatever it happens to be inside of the church, that doesn't mean outside of the church. That's a different debate on roles of men, women in government, society, family, home, different conversation completely. But in the church, as long as she is not giving the impression I'm taking over here, then I would suggest to you that is a principle that will likely guide what roles you ascribe to women in your church.
I want to repeat once again what Charles Spurgeon said. It is treason to the King of Kings to tone down the word of the Lord. Thank you for listening to Biblical Talks. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Biblical Talks. This podcast is solely supported by listener donations. Please go to biblicaltalks.com to support this podcast and have a blessed day.